I'm very excited about this. Some of the most successful startups had a rocky start and had to readjust their thoughts on strategy, market, and products to make it work. How do you know when you need to review your plans and at what cost? We chat to some entrepreneurs who learned the hard way exactly what it takes to turn obstacles into opportunities. Let's do this. Bettina Swart, co-founder and head of design at Me and B. How are you?
Very well.
I got this on the line. It says, Bettina has over 30 years experience in fashion business and manufacturing and design and is currently the head of design at Me and B. Tell us about your business quickly.
So Me and B is, we call ourselves ageless, sizeless, fun fashion.
Hallelujah.
Because we have my daughter and I that are in business together. And obviously I'm being the older woman and my daughter being the younger woman.
Definitely if she's your daughter, you have to be the older of the two.
We both have to actually agree on the design. So It's both of us love what we do and we love what we put out. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why we say we're ageless, because anyone can wear it.
Okay, how is it working with your daughter? Like families working together, it works, it doesn't work. Business is a family affair. Let's talk about that.
People talk about it. It's very difficult. But I think that what we put in place was that we have definitely in our lane, which is I'm the head of design and Kelly is head of brand. Mm-hmm. And head of brand has got to sign off on head of design because she's got to be happy for the brand. But she's definitely in her lane and I'm in my lane. So I'm in all the doing the production, working at the factories on the manufacturing side. And Kelly's on the website, the marketing. It's a completely different lane. So I think if you've got different lanes in your business, then that works out well.
Well, but how does spontaneity play a role in your business? Because you say stay in your lane, but how do you keep it spontaneous?
Well, that was the big thing about being spontaneity in our business.
English is not my language. It's yours. A spontaneity.
Spontaneity. But we started this business while we were working on another business. So we were, wow. I was a design house for big chain stores and having to bring out new designs every 6 weeks.
Okay.
And Kelly joined me and then we decided to start this business. And this was on the side. So we started with 20 units and this was before COVID. So what happened was we started the 20 units, we set up the website, we were doing local production and it was just the right thing at the right time. Everyone was looking for local, they were looking for online stores. So it worked out so well that it happened before COVID. And why we say spontaneity is that they said, okay, we're locking down in a week's time. So when we locked down.
Yeah.
And we said, okay, well, let's quickly cut as much as we can. So we took all the fabric we had, we cut the whole week until we had everything cut up. And we just gave it to all our employees and said, take them home, do it during the time that you're at home. And so when lockdown finished, we got all this beautiful stock back in.
Wow.
So then it was online, it was ready to be sold. It just worked out so well that because we are spontaneous, we made these decisions and go with the flow. And that's been the whole time what we've been doing to get to where we are. So another thing is that the shipments, I don't know if you remember with COVID, all the shipments were crazy and they weren't coming and it was big, huge delays.
I just remember masks.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. We did those as well.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you made masks. You know, they did all of it.
Yeah. But we ended up getting our spring fabric and our summer fabric on the same week.
Oh, wow.
All of it. Now we had to make this up and now we've got so much stock. So we're sitting, what are we going to do now? We've got so much fabric, so much stock. Let's open up a store.
Oh.
So, and we did that within 2 months. Kelly went up to Johannesburg to live for 5 months, opened the store. And that's why we say spontaneity is such a huge thing in our business.
You just spoke about stores. Yes. Let's talk about the difference between online and store.
Well, for us, we are now putting all this data analysis in our business. So we're doing Power BI. And in that way, we can analyze the difference between what is selling in store and what is selling online. Mm-hmm. And it's so incredible because online is all about the vibrant print. It's the beautiful picture that catches someone's attention, and that's what they love. But then when you go to store sales, it's No, store sales is all about plain,
oh, okay,
plain fabrics. They're feeling.
That's
it.
What I mean. Oh, I mean, oh, feel,
I
not
thought,
money.
I thought there was money.
No, I mean feel. Okay, feel.
Yes, they're feeling the fabric, and they can, and then they buy it according to how they're feeling the fabric. And we spend quite a lot on our fabrics. The reason we started the whole business is that we didn't want to, you know, water down the design, which often happens when you're dealing with chain stores. We try and use the best fabric we can. We put pockets. We put flair. We do a beautiful garment, and that's what we want. So when people start feeling the fabric, not online but in store, they start buying that, like, plain, beautiful, just a basic T-shirt. You know, you're feeling it.
So for me, I struggle with this. I swam as a kid. I played rugby as a kid. So I'm big lower half. That wasn't a sexual joke. I am big legs. Like, yes. I have big legs. And then, but my body doesn't match top and bottom. So online purchases for me are traumatic. It's a traumatic experience.
I know.
Because usually they get and they don't flipping fit. Top fits and the bottom fits. And I feel like ladies are so much better at doing the shopping thing online, because my best friend can do it perfectly. I cannot find anything that fits top and bottom. And like, how can we fix that? Recommendations?
What we do is, when I start actually designing the garment, I'm thinking of the person purchasing it. And so she's got a wider hip, a smaller waist. So we always put elastic in our back of our pants, so that it can stretch to a bigger waist or a smaller, and go in for a smaller waist. So it's the design actually determines how it's going to sell online. So when we first started, it was a mess, because I did fitted garments, zips, darts, and that didn't work.
Zips don't work for me.
No, it didn't work. So we changed the whole way we actually designed the garment. And remember, our sizes are from size 32 right up to a size 46. So whatever we do in a 32 has to go right up to 46. It's not – the design has to be able to carry that through. So hopefully when people buy online from us, they're getting – we don't have a lot of returns, which is a good thing.
Okay. Let's talk about this one, because this is quite a topic that people talk about. What perceptions about sustainable fashion do you want to change?
We don't call ourselves a sustainable brand at all. We call ourselves a responsible brand. And I prefer that in fashion. So we continually look how we can be responsible to this planet. And that is, all our mailers are decompostable. We try and use cottons, tencils, linens, fabrics that can easily just, you know, decompose. Stay away from the polyesters. So in that way, we're being responsible. But the problem is, we're not sustainable, in that every single fabric that's got a color or dyed is not sustainable. If you ship fabric from China, you're not sustainable. You know, polyester is not sustainable. It has to go somewhere. It's plastic. It'll keep, have to be regenerated and redone. So that's why I always feel that a lot of fashion brands are greenwashing the whole sustainable.
Explain that.
So they say they are a sustainable brand. So sustainability means a lot of things. They think, okay, we're a sustainable brand because we do local production. We do local production. But that sustainability, I feel, is something that's, when you wear it and you throw it away out in the grass, it's going to eventually just disappear into the earth and not sit there for 100 years. And when people use the word sustainability, they think it's because they are recycling fabric. You know, even the button, if you think about a button, is plastic. The thread they use is plastic. So even that is not sustainable. So to use the word sustainability in fashion means you have to dye in beetroot. You have to use, all your thread has to be cotton. All your buttons have to be wood. So it's just such a difficult thing in fashion.
So what you are saying, in the most politically correct way possible, is that other people are lying here and there or twisting the truth. Is that how? Because you've been very polite about it. You sound like a mom. I would have said, people be lying. You're like, yes, you know. All right. How do you try and keep it local, like, as much as possible?
95% of our production is done locally. So, and we have 12 factories we use here in Cape Town. And we have all women owned the factories, which is quite interesting.
Who runs the world?
And they they started off small with us, and they actually do all our production only. No one else's production. And they've developed and grown from the beginning with us. So they understand what we need, what we want. And for them, we've like supporting these little communities all over Cape Town.
There is something about it, and if you're a man listening, when you employ or empower a woman, you're not just employing or empowering one person.
Yes.
They're families. Like, a lot of these women are supporting cousins, fathers, mothers. It's
well, when you go to these factories, you see that the son is packing, he's driving, he's involved. Mm. The whole family's involved in the business, which is amazing.
Okay, competitors. How do you deal with competitors? Because if you start doing something great, people will start mimicking or trying to do it better. How do you do it?
Well, first of all, I don't like to even think about a competitor.
That's a great answer.
Mm-hmm. I'm always moving forward. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have to offer something different. So if they did rip off a design or do something, that's fine. We've already done it.
Okay.
And then we can move on and show something new. So we love color. We love prints. We do all our own print designs as well, you can't find it anywhere else. Mm. So if someone's ripping off our print, then we know.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So, and we keep the silhouettes quite simple. So if they're ripping that off, it's not the end of the world.
The biggest competitor is your reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's what I believe in. Okay. People always speak about positivity when it comes to business. The biggest mistakes you've made that people can learn from?
I think that I get overzealous about designing because I've been designing. Mm. So maybe a little bit overstocked than I should be.
Okay.
But then we find ways of, we do sales. And I think that maybe that would be the issue. Mm. But I feel like we've tried to, because of the spontaneity we spoke about, we try and maneuver, and we are like a little amoeba, like moving around in the right place. And hopefully that's moving us in the right direction. And we try and not make mistakes. Mm. Because if you make mistakes in business, it's a huge loss. Mm.
Investment, any advice that people are looking for investment for businesses?
You know, there's a lot of people, we've used these people where they obviously, it costs money to borrow the money from them. So the best thing is to try and get it from the banks. But then you need 2 years of working experience. They need to see your books, the whole thing. But to get to that point, the bank, the actual bank, is the best place to get your money. Yeah.
And for me, a question, this might seem like a difficult one, but what do South Africans want when it comes to what have you realized about South African consumers that you're like, okay, cool, this is a South African consumer compared to a French consumer or anyone overseas? Like, what did you say?
So we travel overseas and go and see what London is doing, or, you know, see what they're doing. And we actually realize that we are doing what we are doing. Mm-hmm. We mustn't actually look at what they're doing. Yeah. Maybe at the silhouette or what, but South Africans love color. Mm. They really do. They.
You sound like Nelson Mandela.
The Rainbow Nation.
South Africa loves color. We don't see color, but we love color.
Well, that's what South Africans do.
Yes, love color. I'm joking. And what do you think you did right? Because you can't celebrate the failures without celebrating the positive.
I think what we did right, Siv, is that we offer the same design from a 32 to a 46. Mm. And also we don't have a price difference between.
Oh, so you're not saying we're using more
fabric
on here because you're big, girl?
Yeah.
It can't be the same as the 32 and the 56. It can't be the same. That's actually a point.
That is.
Yes, that's a great point.
Why must a plus wear actually pay more?
Agreed.
Can't you actually punish this 32?
Yes, you are too thin, you need to eat more. So I grew up.
You're saving money, not buying food.
Yes, yes. So I grew up with an overweight mother, and she always used to look fabulous. My mother never looked bad. She always looked great. She knew what works for her body type. Mm. She knew what designers worked. So I grew up in a household with a big woman, but it never meant that because you're big, you need to look bad.
Yes.
And my mother always would be like,
Why is she wearing horizontal lines? Now you want to look left and right, left. She might as well vertical.
My mother, I grew up in that world. So what you're saying for me hits home. Like it actually gives me like, I can feel it in my throat because I grew up with a woman who knew the brands that catered to all women of all sizes.
You know, and it's very irritating as a bigger woman because I go to...
She's not that big if you're listening. She's lying.
I'm actually over the size like Zara offer. Oh. I can't go and shop at Zara.
I'm too big for Zara, girl. Zara, I wear an extra large. And even there, I don't fit. It's like Zara cuts things for those European men who walk down the runway.
Skinny arms. I can't even put a jacket on. Yeah.
Is there any other brands that you love to wear? Or do you just wear your own?
Love Poetry, which is very similar to what we do, I think. Oh. Yeah. You know, it's all about the color.
How do you build faith in a brand, in a fashion brand?
You know, the big thing for us, especially on Instagram, I don't know if you follow us or seen us, but we love our little community that we're building. Mm. And we answer every question that gets asked ourselves. And we try and work around. So people are talking to us and we're talking back. And then that way we know how to go forward. So I think that the whole community of our brand is so important.
Mm. And... So now you work with your daughter. Mm. Do you have to learn to pick your battles? Because I work with my sister.
Oh, do you?
And I have to be able to. Because you say stick to your lane. Yes. But there must be something that she does that you're like,
So
how difficult is that?
Kelly's the one that's very loud and she'll like throw a tantrum or whatever. I'm the quieter one. Mm-hmm. So I slowly step back, but then... I have a way of finding my way around.
My mother used to say, you came out of me, I can take you out as well. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Wait till she hears this.
Yes. Okay, like inspiration for your new line. What is, like, do you have like a running thread? Is there like a...
So the line we just did for summer, we got inspired by White Lotus. I don't know if you saw this season.
I actually haven't seen it. I watched the first episode. I haven't been able to... I must try.
It was fun because it was all about summer, but it had a dark undertone sort of thing. So that inspired the summer we just did. Mm-hmm. And now we are planning winter. Mm-hmm. I'm actually planning next summer, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Right now. And we are looking at something called shadows, where it's like the dark and the light. So it's, you start with something and then it just seems to, you know, and eventually it comes out and you say, oh, it's saying something, you know, it's beautiful.
If you could speak to your younger self as a business lady, a businesswoman, some advice, what advice would you give her?
I think that I should have been more courageous. Mm. I mean, I only started this business with my daughter at 54 because she said, just do it.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I should have been more courageous and started it earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any more lessons that you learned from?
Well, the big lesson I find is that I never knew that you had to be in debt to do business. Because you're a growing business, you have to continually be in debt. Mm-hmm. And it's frightening, you know? I'm thinking, but then say, oh, you are making money. Am I? I can't see it. But it's because you continually, if you're opening a store or you need more stock, you have to put more money in. Mm. So growth... is still you making money, but you're needing to borrow money. So I find that that's important to realize. It's not like you're in debt. You actually need the money to perform and to grow in a business.
Do you say no or yes more? What do you say most in business, in your business? Do you say no more?
My daughter says I say yes all the time.
I like your daughter. I like this daughter of yours.
So she says no, and I'm the yes. Mm-hmm. That's most probably what happens. And then it's like, okay.
Do you think you'd be able to do the business without her?
No, because she brings...
Oh, no. Well, she said no. Did you hear your mom said no?
I said no, Kelly. No, because she understands the marketing, the website side. She's incredible at marketing. You can't believe what she comes up with. It amazes me. Like I'm the background making sure that it's happening. You know, the manufacturing side. I understand the fabric. I understand patterns. I did all of that. She's never done pattern making, but she understands how she's going to get that garment and get it out there. And she's done an incredible job.
Well, it's been great chatting to you. Final question. If you could give advice to any entrepreneur, anyone starting off, what did you say to them?
I would say go and get a job and make mistakes under someone else's money and learn from it. And then once you are feeling confident enough, start doing your own business. But don't just start the business and having to deal with all these issues and mistakes you're making that you don't haven't had the experience of in your using your own money. Rather use someone else's
money. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. I look forward to seeing your garments all over the place.
Thank you so much. It's lovely talking to you, sir.
Great chatting to you.
You've got the best smile.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It gets a lot of ladies in trouble. I mean, it gets me in trouble. I mean, me. Okay. Thank you.